very famous passage about Jesus being left in the temple. And so we're going to start at verse 46 of Luke chapter 2. After 3 days, Mary and Joseph found Jesus in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers and listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Whenever I read this, I can never help feeling a bit sorry for Joseph at the moment recorded in verses 48 and 49. There is Mary, slightly frustrated and wondering what on earth has happened, saying, "How could you have treated your father and I like this? We have been searching for you for days. We were worried sick about what had happened to you." And all that Jesus said, "Didn't you know I had to be about my father's business?" Those 3 days must have been a kaleidoscope of emotions for Mary and Joseph as they'd searched Jerusalem. Guilt, anxiety, a sense of helplessness, and probably quite a lot of the time they simply wanted to be back at home, surrounded by their friends. As they searched, they probably couldn't help blaming themselves, blaming one another, and probably blaming Jesus too for not getting where he should have been and staying where he ought to have been. But they'd have known, of course, in their calmer moments, how easily something like this could have happened. The Lord Jesus was 12 years old at the time of this event. It was a time when a Jewish boy in the first century would have become an adult. He wouldn't have been supervised as though he was still a child. He'd have run his own agenda, gone off with his friends, done the things he wanted to do on his first ever trip, or first conscious trip, to the capital city. And those return journeys too, that would have added the way they worked out for the potential for things to go wrong. The women of the village and some of the younger men would have always set out from Jerusalem first thing in the morning, and later in the day, the rest of the party would have followed. It's easy to imagine, quite natural to imagine at one level, Mary and Joseph each assuming that Jesus was traveling with the other until supper on the first evening. They hadn't been as attentive as they should have been. But then most of us have taken Jesus for granted at some time or another. And as soon as they realized what had happened, they set out back to search for him, and after 3 days found him. They were astonished, as any parent might have been, to see him in the temple discussing with the leaders of the Jewish religious faith. And clearly he made an impression, as we saw in verse 47. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. But something unseen had happened to him in those 3 days in the temple. We saw a hint of it in his response to Mary's questions. He began to engage, as he'd never done before, with his Heavenly Father, understanding his Father's perspective on matters. He learned a little more about who he was and why he'd been born, and as a result, was more prepared to assert quietly but definitely his independence of other people's expectations. Of course, we know the whole story. We know the story from before he was born and after he ascended into heaven. But it's easy to look at this extract and think, how can it help us mature as Christians? And we need, first of all, like Mary and Joseph, we need to learn how easily we can begin to take our relationship with Jesus for granted, be less attentive to him than we should be. And this instant encourages us to learn to listen more carefully. Even though everyone in this church today is juggling so many different priorities and responsibilities, we can all too easily, because we're human, be distracted from being as attentive to Jesus as we should be. Hearing him more clearly sounds exactly, of course, what we want. But how can we do that? Most of us want to. Many of us will have had those days or faced those decisions and thought, Lord, I wish I could hear you more clearly. There are so many kind of other voices clambering in, asking me to do this, expecting that response. How can I learn to hear you more clearly? I want to be attentive, but part of that is not only me talking to you, but me hearing from you as well. What can we do so we don't miss out, which all of us would want to do? I think one of the things is we can focus on the cross. I find it helpful sometimes just to have a small wooden cross and focus on it. It takes a little time for my mind to calm down from anything else. But the more I focus on it, the more sensitive I am to the promptings of the Spirit. Quite often, too, I pray in tongues. And the Spirit prays with my spirit, and I use that gift of tongues, and I find myself, in spite of everything, focusing more intently on the Lord Jesus Christ. I pick up what he might be trying to get through to me. Sometimes I pray a promise again and again. Thank you, Lord, that you promise you're with me always. You promise you're with me always. You promise you're with me always. You promise that you've called me a friend, and a friend knows what another friend is saying. Sometimes, too, I pray, not always with great expectation, but it often works because God's behind it. I pray for a gift of stillness. So I suddenly find myself becoming still. It's then that the other pressures, the other voices, the other expectations begin to fade a bit. And I begin to hear the voice of Jesus. I'm no longer satisfied with something that's second rate. I begin to hear him. And I know it's him, because like Jesus that day, I become increasingly relaxed about the immediate demands of others and their expectations. Of course, at the right moment, particularly if I'm at work, I need to be less relaxed and focus on what I'm supposed to be doing. But actually, for a moment, he's the one that matters. All of us, of course, enjoy that experience as we worship. Sadly, we can't always take a band around with us wherever we are in the city. So we have to find other ways of hearing God. The great thing is, you and I are absolutely clear that Jesus wants to speak to us. You and I need to find the way that works with us to hear him more carefully.